are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast. I am so excited to have you here today. We interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am Shantha Wetterhahn. I'm your host. I want to let you know that today's show is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find Up to Me Magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. For that sponsor. Today on the show, I am very excited to have Danielle Elizabeth. Danielle is a mother too of the Wealth Leaders Network at Beauty and the Bull and the Fit Life Coach for highly visible women who want to be in the best shape of their lives in mind, body, and spirit. Her passion for helping others be the best versions of themselves began when she had her own personal transformation in 2006. She turned her life around and became a personal trainer, which led to becoming an IFBB pro figure competitor and entrepreneur. She has expanded her knowledge into the areas of personal finance and biblical studies to combine with her expertise in fitness to create her unique faith-based coaching business. Danielle, I'm so excited to have you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Danielle, you were in New York recently for some big exciting things. How was your trip?
It was awesome. Yeah, I haven't been back to New York in a very long time. I lived there back in 2003 or 2004. I actually went to school a lifetime ago. And I went out to New York City last week to meet with all the ladies with Beauty and the Bull. And it was really cool because it's the first time that we have all met together. We've been talking virtually since February, for me anyway. And so we all met and we did a couple video shoots and some photos and talked about launching. And it's really exciting.
Oh, awesome. Can you tell me a little bit more about Beauty and the Bull?
Absolutely. Beauty and the Bull is a social wealth-building platform for women, and it is so amazing because this is so needed for women to come together to learn about finances and have the support and the training and everything they need to get their finances in order and begin investing in the market. So this allows you just for women to come together, and we have groups so that you can be in a group with whatever topic suits you, and then you are able to trade on the platform and get information about how to do all of this in bite-sized chunks, and it's delivered in a way that women, we like to receive information in more of a conversational community relationship type way,
right?
And
yeah,
not so much sitting in front of, you know, MSNBC and watching the ticker. We're not, you know, typically most of us find that boring. So this is a way for women,
yes,
to really get involved in the financial market. And so it's really, really exciting.
Yeah. Well, that is so cool. So I understand the beauty part because you have a fitness background. How did you sort of bring it all together and make that shift and really start helping women, you know, not with their fitness, but as well with their finances? How did that shift happen for you, and where does that fit in as a whole with what you do?
Well, about 2 years ago, my husband was in the military and he got out. And so we went through this big life transition, and I had mastered the fitness thing. I mean, how much you can master something, you can't perfect it. But, you know, I got a really good handle on health and fitness. And we have these goals as far as our life and what we want to accomplish and learn. And finances was really next on my list. Growing up, I didn't learn much about how to manage money. There was a lot of fear around money, lack of, and all of the typical money issues and stressors that, well, most Americans have. So that was like in the back of my mind, I want to learn about this. And I ended up being recruited by a financial advising firm. And I thought, well, worst case scenario is I learn all this stuff. And if I don't end up being a financial advisor, I still have learned all this stuff. So I started studying and training, and I did complete the Series 6 and 63 licenses. But ultimately, I learned in the financial world, when you are working as an advisor under your licenses, everything you do has to go through compliance. Me coaching, and I'm going to be a part of some book projects in the near future and getting up and speaking. It seemed like the compliance would be a nightmare as far as stuff that I'm putting out there, having to go through compliance. So
right, yeah,
I
understand that industry, and it is highly regulated.
It is, and it should be. It was actually really cool to learn about all of the rules and regulations that are in place to keep the advisors honest and keep everything the way it should be. There's a huge paper trail that has to happen every time you make a transaction, so, you know, they can really make sure that everything is ethical and as it should be. But anyway, so I was doing some research online, and I was looking for female financial advising firms because I knew I wanted to work with women, and I found a Forbes article that listed a couple of them, and Beauty and the Bold was one of them. So I clicked on the link and went over to the website, and I thought, oh, this looks pretty neat. And so I sent Mackenzie a message. Mackenzie is the owner and the founder, and began talking with her. And it worked out interestingly well because she wanted to have somebody who was a health and fitness type person, and she had a woman who did yoga, but then that woman left, and then I come out of nowhere. So divine, you know, organization there. And so we started talking. Yeah. Initially, I was just going to be a coach and a money club leader. But as we have talked over the past couple of months, and I've helped develop some things as the company has been going from beta to public launch. So then she offered me the position of VP of the Wealth Leaders Network. So now I'm able to still do the coaching and the money clubs, but then as new wealth leaders come in, I will be the one to help train them. And so it's really exciting.
So let's go back to fitness. I want to stop. That's a touchy chord. I think you and I chatted about that when we did our preliminary interview, and I was telling you that's something that I'm, you know, really around right now. It was a lot easier when I first started my business, and even when I worked in corporate America, to stay fit and on top of my exercise regimen. I actually, you know, when I worked at corporate America, there was that time that I went to lunch, and I had coworkers that we would take walks with during break time and that sort of thing. But now that I'm in control, I'm the master of my time, it's a lot harder for me to stick with my fitness regimen. I have more time, but at the same time, I have a lot more pressures pulling at my time. And so I find myself, you know, finishing up that last email over, you know, taking that walk. And so I want to find out from you, do you see this often with female entrepreneurs, the struggle with, you know, staying fit? And what are some things that we can do to get back into the swing of things, or even start if we've never really started a fitness regimen before.
Right. And the shifting of how you think about it is really important, because if you think about exercise as this, the last on the list, this extra thing that I'll do if I get to it, it's, you're never going to get to it. But from where I sit, I know that if I am exercising regularly, I'm able to perform better. So I look at it as like taking my vitamins or having my cup of coffee in the morning. It's just part of my life so that I can operate at the highest level that I can. And also, I think that we need to be aware of our schedules and our stress. And this is something that I work on with clients and I have learned to do in my own life, is every day is not the day to have the best workout of your life. Different seasons will require maybe a lower intensity if you have a huge workload, and just really monitoring your stress levels, because I know I've personally experienced times in my life where too much exercise was not a good thing. And, you know, you really need to monitor that. And I think we tend to take on the world, and maybe sometimes it's a season of, you know what, right now, yoga and walks is what my body needs. And then in a few weeks, maybe it's, all right, yeah, now I want to hit the weights really hard for the next 12 weeks. And I think finding something that you enjoy is important, but also having it in your mind that whatever it is you want to achieve, if weight training is required, which I think everybody needs to do some form of resistance training, have a goal in your mind that you are going to learn to love it, and then it's not going to be so hard to do it anymore. For myself, I think that was one of the biggest helpers that I had in my mind way back when I had my transformation, and just how I was able to go from being extremely unhealthy. And prior to that, I was addicted to drugs, and I had a lot of, you know, hard times when I was young. And so getting over the addictions and wanting to get healthy again, I mean, praise God, that was 12 years ago. But I always knew deep down somewhere who I was, and that I was going to be a woman who took great care of herself, because I knew that there was a lot that God had for me to do, and I wanted to be a high, you know, peak performer. I want to be able to go out and speak and write and, you know, do big things in the world, and taking great care of yourself is a big part of that. So when I was changing my eating habits and getting into I wanted to lose the weight. I wanted to look better. You know, I didn't like how I looked because I gained all this weight and my metabolism was all messed up. And so, of course, there was that I want to look better. I want to feel better. But I had it in my head that I want to become the person who loves to do this, because I knew that I needed to be able to do this regularly. And if I'm going to do it all the time, I'm going to want to love doing it, you know. It's going to make it a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
I'm going to force myself to do something I don't like to do for the rest of my life, because that's no fun.
Absolutely. No, I love your testimony, and I love that you're totally transparent. We all have had a struggle, or, you know, we all have a past or something that we have to work through. And the fact that you took something that could have, you know, wrecked your life, but you've taken it, you've allowed the Lord to help you in bettering your life and using it as your story that can help other people is totally inspiring. And I love that. And another thing that we chatted about was loving ourselves. And that stuck with me since our conversation. I just remembered, you know, although I'm not where I want to be, you know, physically, I am getting back to, you know, working out and eating better, and I feel so much better. But I really have to remember, as a woman, it's so easy. We're shot all these images and all these messages on how our body should look, and, you know, how we should be emulating maybe a superstar or someone in the media. And we beat ourselves up no matter what level of health, or no matter how comfortable you may be with how you look in the mirror, I think women still struggle with that, not beating ourselves up, picking ourselves apart. And one thing that you reminded me of was you've got to stop and love yourself no matter where you are. In fact, you probably need to be telling yourself more self-assuring things, more loving things in your mind if you are not where you want to be physically. So your story really reminds me of how our body is a temple. It was given to us, and we have to care for it. And part of that caring is what happens in our brains and loving ourselves as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I went through, I mentioned about having drug addiction many years ago and being healthy and living in that calm, non-addictive state. But anyway, so after I had my son, I wanted to get into competing and figure because I have if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it 110%, and being a personal trainer, competing kind of seemed like the next natural progression of things. And I got into it. I did really well right away. And what I learned through that experience, because I was just exhausted, and it gets really strange when you get really, really lean, and then you start noticing all these little things, and all of a sudden after competing, I began to have disordered eating, and like my body image, because like before, I was able to just eat healthy, and it was fine. Like I had reached my goals, and it wasn't a thing, but when you focus on it, like you do win a competition, you're weighing out your food. You have to be so meticulous about your food and getting your exercise in and all of those things which are required to get on stage and do your best. But because your mind has been focused on it for so long, when the show is over, it's like, what do I do now? And I had gained weight, and all of a sudden it was like I didn't know how to eat anymore. And getting over that was more difficult than getting over drugs, because all of a sudden I had this dysfunctional relationship with my body and with food. And you can't just stop eating, like with drugs, you just stop. There's no question.
Right.
But with food, it's like I really have to learn how to have a healthy relationship with food. So I hired a number of coaches since then that have really helped me through that. And that trap that women fall into, to think, oh my gosh, like I need to look like this so that I will be enough, or maybe if I lose this weight then everything will be okay. That thinking just is maddening, because that's not the truth.
Yeah,
absolutely. So having gone through that, it really opened my eyes to what so many women go through on a deeper level. I mean, thankfully, I did not fall all the way into like an actual disorder. But I mean, I was close. I was like, this is awful. This is torture. And I think on a smaller level, so many women are just kind of right on the line as far as how much energy are you spending thinking about food, thinking about your body. Like every time you change your clothes or go to the bathroom, do you tell yourself you're fat? Do you look in the refrigerator and have an internal dialogue about what you want to eat, what you should be eating, all of that? And that just requires so much energy. It just drains the life out of you and makes you crazy. So the key for me was, to learning just how to get that out of my head and how to just live. And that's a process. And I mean, everybody's a little bit different as far as how you shift, how you're thinking about all of those things. But yes, the comparison is awful. I mean, what we see on the media, what we see on social media, beautiful women and so many of the models and things, they obviously are dieting for that particular shoot and airbrush and all of that.
And use Photoshop. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't compare yourself to what is not even human,
Right. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely, want to also find out how finances plays a role, because I personally believe once you're fit, once you feel good, once your body is healthy, once you have the confidence that you're not struggling with how other people perceive you, and you're confident that you are be because you're doing the things for your body that needs to be done. And then once your finances are in order, you know, if you're making money, you know, what do you do with that money? If you're not making money, how can you ramp up and really start, you know, things I think that plays a big part in just the success as an entrepreneur. Can you talk a little bit about that? What are some pitfalls that you see in terms of finances when it comes to entrepreneurship? And what are some things that we can do to get our finances in order to be as successful as we can be?
Great question. Well, I see all of us, I think, go through the shiny object syndrome where you get into the space and all of these things, and it's like, yes, I need the branding person, the marketing person, and someone needs to make me a funnel, and I need, and it can get so overwhelming. And I think, and I mean, I have fallen into this trap myself. And I think, first of all, especially in the very beginning, taking some time to just test the waters and network and do some research and not get swept up into everybody's awesome marketing plans. But yeah, as far as the finances go, I think on one hand, if you need to get some, you know, a loan or credit or something to start your business, I'm not opposed to that. As long as you have a plan and you know, like, you have some concrete things you know are going to happen, and whether that's just in your spirit or you have a contract that's coming or whatnot, but having a plan with that money, and then when money does start to come in, make sure that you allocate money for your marketing, because you're going to need to continue to pay for your marketing and all of that and your advertising, and start putting away for your retirement. Definitely reinvesting in your business, and that is obviously, you have to do that, but finding ways to put your money in some stuff. Start putting that away for your kids for college. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, diversify and slowly over time start to accumulate that so you have that. And just like exercise, plan for money. I actually have a spreadsheet that I can send to you that the listeners can get. But it's just one of those really simple Excel spreadsheets that you can put in your expenses, and there's a line for projected, and then a line for actual, and then another line for what the difference was. And just
that would be great. That would be awesome. Yeah. I'm sure listeners would love that.
Yeah, I can send that to you so then they can download it. But just like with eating, you start off by, okay, we need to see where you are right now. So you need to journal everything that goes in your mouth. And I also like to add the emotions and how you're feeling along with that, because you want as much data as possible about what is going on. And then from that, then I'll make your meal plan. And same with your finances.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to figure out exactly where everything is going and make steps towards your goals from there. I think, you have to give yourself some grace too, especially the first couple of months working into a budget. It's going to take some trial and error, and just like a diet too, I think having that grace for yourself is so important. And if you have a couple days that are nowhere near 100%, like, that's okay. Keep moving forward. I forget where I heard this or read this, but it was during my first competition prep, and I loved it, so I always remembered it. But you don't need to go slashing your other three tires. Meaning, if you're dieting and you messed up, you don't need to ruin the rest of your day. I think same thing goes with finances. And as I've transitioned into learning about this, it really, at the core of it, it's the same human behaviors. It's the same developing discipline. It's just applying it towards your health or applying it towards your finances, which all of that, encompasses our total wellness. And You know, we can have stress about our finances, and we can help with our stress when we exercise, and it all comes together.
Absolutely. Well, the one trending thing that I'm hearing through and through that's threaded through everything you're saying, it's grace. It's okay to give yourself grace. It's okay to not beat up on yourself. In fact, you'd probably achieve better goals. You probably achieve your goals a lot quicker if you just give yourself grace and not, you know. And me being a person who operates at a level of a high standard, and I expect, mm-hmm. you know, the people that work with me to have a certain type of standard, I put other pressures on myself. And I think, you know, I don't do things because of that perfectionist stuff that's going on in my brain. I'll just rather not do it if it's not going to be perfect. And that's something mm-hmm. that I'm working on. But yeah. approaching things from a standpoint of grace will give you that courage to do it anyway, despite it being perfect or not. So,
right.
I love that.
Absolutely. Actually, yeah. I just moved over the weekend, and I came across something I had written down in church like maybe 5 years ago, and I wrote it down because I thought, wow, I want to remember this, but I wrote down from the message, grace is where you abandon your crippledness, and I thought that was really good.
That's beautiful. Yes, I love that. Well, Danielle, this was absolutely wonderful. I so enjoyed our conversation today. I'm confident that our listeners will be able to take this information and grow in their fitness, grow in their finances, and remember not just grace for others, but grace for ourselves too. It's okay. And to love ourselves no matter where we are right. in this journey, in this season of life. And I wanted to end with nuggets. If you have three mm-hmm. nuggets, three takeaways. First, a book. I saw that you're reading a book. I saw it on Facebook that you are reading a book. Give us a book that you can suggest. And also, alongside of that, give us some three nuggets or takeaways that we can leave with and implement today.
Okay. A book. There's so many good ones. But, yeah, I'm just starting to read Lioness Arising, Lisa Bevere, and mm-hmm. she is definitely one of my favorites. I watch her on YouTube a lot. And somebody actually posted the other day about, you know, how do you keep yourself motivated? And what I do, honestly, in my downtime, when I'm driving, when I'm cooking, I am just constantly listening to inspiring people talking on YouTube. And that, you know, that fuels me so I can keep going. But Lisa Bevere is definitely one of my favorite female speakers. And she has a number of books that I would like to read, but I'm just starting Lioness Arising right now. So three nuggets. With that taking care of yourself out of love, I think so many of us, you know, we fall into that trap of hating ourselves. And it's maybe not our whole selves, but we're thinking, oh, I hate my thighs, or I hate my stomach, or I hate my skin, or I hate my bank account, or whatever it is. And, like, you can't hate yourself into good shape. It's just going to cause a whole lot of resistance. And instead, you know, looking at exactly where you are and being able to say, I love myself right where I am, and because I love myself, I'm going to take great care of myself. And then the transformation happens, and you do take great care of yourself, and you do start to look better, and that shift, and just not allowing yourself, just don't hate on yourself. Really, words have so much power in our thoughts, and you know, you have a baby, and then the year after having a baby, your skin's loose, and you're exhausted, and it's a shame that so many of us feel completely disgusting at that state, when we should be able to just feel completely beautiful and wonderful that we've created this little human being, and how amazing is that, you know? So don't
Absolutely.
Let the enemy rob you of that joy.
right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And,
that must be said right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so where can people find you online, Danielle?
Well, you can friend me on Facebook, Danielle Elizabeth, and then my website is thefitlife.com. fitlife.coach.
Okay, the fitlife.coach.
Yeah, I just learned that you can do it dot coach.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's great for your branding right there.
Right.
I'm sure our listeners will be connecting with you. You've got some amazing insight and some great tips to just, you know, take things to the next level. I know personally that when I'm feeling good, everything else falls into place. I can conquer the world. And I just love what you have to bring, what you have to offer, and your amazing insight. I thank you so much for being on the show today, and I can't wait for, you know, our listeners to be able to connect with you and also to get that spreadsheet about managing finances.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think about today's show? Do you struggle with your fitness? Do you struggle with your finances? What about your faith? What role does faith play in your entrepreneurship journey? Let me know. You can send me an email at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Also, we have an Ask Shantha segment. If you have any questions about social media or digital marketing, that's my forte, send me at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. Today's question is, Shantha, why do I need to do email marketing? This is an excellent question. If you think about email marketing and all the things that you have the ability to do with it, you're going to want to start with email today. What email marketing does is it drives sales, it drives leads, and it allows you to build your customer base through messaging. All the social media platforms in the world, from Facebook to LinkedIn to Twitter. I personally have gotten a lead or a customer or a client or a prospect from all of those platforms, but those aren't my platforms. Twitter could leave tomorrow, LinkedIn could shut my profile down next week, and Facebook, they could go out of business next year. Who knows? But all I know is that things like my website, my blog, and my email list are mine. No one can take those things from me. Email marketing allows you to build relationships with current clients and leads. You can market to them. You can give excellent information, insight, tools, and engage with them all from your email. Some things that you need to be doing with your email, number one is be consistent. You really want to send emails on a consistent basis, whether you choose to send emails once a week, once a month, or every quarter. You really want to be consistent. People will begin to look for your emails. They would want to read your emails, and they're expecting to receive your emails pretty much the same time as often as you send them. So consistency is key. Number two, your email subject lines. They need to be subject lines that people will actually want to click on and read your email messaging. So you want to do a little bit of research to see which type of wording, what type of content works best in your email letters. Number three, build that list. You really want to do things that are going to and continually build your list. It is totally counterproductive to have an email list, number one, that you are not actively adding to. And also, an email list that's purchased is not going to do you any good. That is an opportunity to send people spam who've never heard of your brand before. But if you have an email list of people that are fans, that are excited about you, excited about what you have to offer, and really are waiting to hear your message and purchase your services, that is a valuable list. So some things that you can do to build your list is setting up an email capture box on your website. Maybe the capture box will provide your audience with a downloadable sheet that they click on and can get information about in exchange for their emails. Or you can set up Facebook ad campaigns where you are getting leads and actually adding to your email list from a Facebook ad. So you really want a dynamic list. You also don't want to use tools like maybe a MailChimp, or I personally use Constant Contact to send out beautiful emails. And with these tools, not only will you have the aesthetics of a nice email that people actually want to open, but they also provide you with analytics. They can let you know how many times your email was open, whether or not people are unsubscribing from your email list. So, any well-rounded marketing strategy has different spokes in their wheelhouse, and email marketing will help you take your marketing to the next level. You can literally sell right there from your email. So that's my homework for you is just to go ahead and explore email marketing, send out your first email, and you'll see your business grow and thrive after that. I wanted to let you know that you can catch this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and you can also check out our show promos on Facebook Live on the Facebook page, Up to Me Radio Network. Also, check us out at www.uptomeradio.com. You can actually find the show's page on the Up to Me Radio website. So next week, I wanted to let you know that you can join us as we will be talking with branding and video marketing expert Mamika Cooney about how to resurrect or recreate a brand. She's actually going through a brand resurrection right now. So you're going to get some incredible insight on how to grow a brand. And if you have a brand and you're looking for a brand refresh, this show is for you. Also, you're going to get some really great nuggets about video marketing, which is huge right now. I want to thank you so much for being with me today. You could have been anywhere in this whole entire world, but guess what? You chose to spend your time with me to focus on your brand and your purpose, and I truly appreciate you for that. Tune in with us next time. Have a great, great, wonderful rest of the week.